Romans chapter 5. Sermons by Paul C. Jong. Sermon 4. Those who obtain salvation by faith in the ministry of the one Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Beloved saints, Romans chapter 5, verse 12 begins a new paragraph with one word, therefore. The Apostle Paul unpacked step by step the blessings enjoyed by a person who has been justified from verse 1 to 11. And then, to show on what foundation all those blessings are built, he begins to compare by placing the one man Adam and the one Jesus Christ side by side. Sin and the death of curse that began from one man. Paul first says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Everyone, from where did sin enter the world? It entered from one man. Looking at Genesis chapters 2 and 3, God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. And he commanded them not to pick and eat only the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. However, Adam and Eve broke God's command. Through that one disobedience, sin entered into the human heart. But that sin did not stop at Adam and Eve. It flowed down exactly as it was to all mankind. Everyone, we did not become sinners by accidentally committing wrongs once or twice. Fundamentally, from birth, we were already born as sinners who inherited the sinful nature. That is why Paul says, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It is not that everyone becomes a sinner because they committed sin. Because they were already born as sinners, they became those who commit sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 13 adds one discernment. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Even before God gave the law through Moses, sin was clearly inside people. It is just that because there was no law, people lived without knowing how heavy their sin was before God. The evidence of that is Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Everyone, the saying that death reigned is a truly scary saying. Even to those who did not directly receive God's command like Adam, sin and death were ruling like a king. There was not a single person who escaped that rule. This was the appearance of sin of mankind born under sin. Adam, who was a type of him who was to come, and Jesus Christ, who came as the Savior of mankind. However, at the end of verse 14, Paul attaches a very important word, who is a type of him who was to come. Everyone inside this short word, the entire flow from verse 12 to 21 is contained. What does it mean that Adam is a type of him who was to come? Adam was one man. That one man became the ancestor who brought sin and death to all mankind. The action of one man determined the destiny of all mankind. Exactly in this point, Adam was a type showing in advance the one who was to come in the future, that is, Jesus Christ. Just as Adam, as one man, brought sin to all mankind, Jesus Christ, who is the one to come, was the one who would save all mankind as one person. Whoever believes in him as the Savior receives true salvation. Only the direction is exactly the opposite. Adam brought sin and death through disobedience, but Jesus Christ brought God's righteousness, salvation from sin, and new life through obedience. Jesus, by receiving baptism from John the Baptist at the Jordan River, had all the sins of this world transferred to his own body at once. And carrying those sins, he was nailed to the cross and received all the judgment of sin with blood. And by resurrecting 3 days after death, he became the true Savior to those who believe in Jesus' ministry of righteousness. Therefore, just as the sin of the one man Adam spread to the whole world, Jesus Christ received baptism from John the Baptist to take charge of the sins of the world at once, and paid all the price of those sins with the blood of the precious blood on the cross, thereby paying the price of sinners' sins and washing them cleanly at once. Now anyone who believes in this righteous salvation ministry of Jesus has become able to be saved from all sins and become a child of God through faith believing in Jesus Christ as the Savior. The gift of salvation of the one Jesus Christ overflows much more than the transgression of the one man Adam. Everyone, from verse 15 to 17, Paul shows how great and abundant the salvation given by the one Jesus Christ is. But the free gift is not like the offense. The grace of salvation bestowed by Jesus Christ is so great and large that it cannot even be compared with the sin and death that came through the transgression of the one man Adam. Here, the strong expression "much more" that Paul used in Romans chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 repeatedly appears again. If the transgression of one man caused many to reach death, the grace of salvation of one is much more abundant than the transgression of one man, and God poured that grace overflowingly to those who believe. Does sin seem great? Or is the gift of salvation of Jesus Christ, who eliminated the sins of mankind, much greater? It is said that where sin abounded, God's grace abounded much more. Everyone, how precious is this word! Adam's single transgression brought condemnation to all mankind. However, the salvation of Jesus Christ does not merely remove a single transgression. Jesus, through the baptism he received from John the Baptist and the shedding of blood on the cross, eliminated the countless sins of mankind all at once. Thus, he made those who believe into people without sin. Think about it. How many sins do we commit from the time we are born into this world until we die? We ourselves cannot count them all. However, when it is said that Jesus took charge of the sins of the world by having them transferred through the baptism he received from John the Baptist, inside those sins of the world, All the sins we commit throughout our entire lives are contained. It is not just one or two things. Everything from beginning to end is contained. Jesus took charge of all those sins with the baptism received from John, paid all the price of sin by being nailed to the cross and shedding blood, and by resurrecting from death. He guaranteed the salvation from sin for those who believe now. This is not a coincidental event. It is the fulfillment of the sacrificial law already set in Leviticus chapters 1 and 16 of the Old Testament. When a sinner laid his hands on the head of an unblemished animal, that sin was transferred to the animal, and that animal died to pay the price of sin. This shadow became reality in Matthew chapter 3 by Jesus taking charge of the sins of the world by receiving baptism from John the Baptist, who baptized representing mankind. Therefore, all the sins passed down to all mankind from Adam were cut off at once by Jesus' baptism and the blood of the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 clearly shows that result. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Here much more comes out again. Everyone in Adam, death was the king ruling over us. We were slaves of death. However, in Jesus, that position is completely reversed. A person who believes in Jesus' baptism and the blood of the cross with their heart has now become a child of God who reigns as a king in new life. What does it mean that we reign as kings? It does not mean that I came to rule over sin and death by my own strength. It is a new status given to a person who stands firmly on the salvation accomplished by the one Jesus Christ. The person who was a slave of death has now been moved to the position of a ruler in life. What an amazing gift of salvation it is! Through one righteous act, many become righteous by believing in Jesus' baptism and the sacrifice of the cross. Everyone, verse 18, ties all the flow up to now into one sentence with the word, therefore. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Here, the word we must engrave most deeply is one man's righteous act. We must know correctly what this points to. Many people think of this one man's righteous act as merely the one scene of the cross. However, the one man's righteous act that the text speaks of is not an event where the cross is separated out alone. Before Jesus was nailed to the cross, he first received baptism from John the Baptist. At that time, Jesus himself said, "For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Everyone, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. The ministry of baptism, which caused all the sins of the world to be transferred to Jesus' body at once through the hands of John the Baptist, who represented mankind, was there first. And then, Jesus hung on the cross and paid all the price of sin with his precious blood, and resurrected in 3 days to become the Savior of those who believe now. This salvation ministry, where baptism, the blood of the cross, and resurrection are connected as one, this is exactly the one man's righteous act. What would happen if we only emphasize the precious blood of the cross and leave out the baptism Jesus received at the Jordan River? It becomes impossible to explain how that sin was transferred to the only begotten Son of God. Then, the complete meaning of the gospel of the water and the Spirit becomes clouded, and it ends up staying in an incomplete understanding of the gospel. How the sins of the world were transferred to Jesus. We must know this to know on what basis that blood paid the price of our sins and made us who believe clean. Verse 19 unpacks the same truth in other words. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Adam's disobedience was the act of rebelling against the command not to pick and eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Through that one rebellion, all mankind came to be born as sinners. However, the obedience of Jesus Christ is exactly the opposite of that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But in that obedience to the point of death, what was in the first place? There was the baptism received from John the Baptist. Because Jesus obeyed the work of carrying all the sins of mankind through baptism in accordance with the will of God the Father, his death on the cross could become the salvation ministry that actually eliminates our sins. Everyone, where is the way for us to become righteous? It is not in our deeds. It is in the faith believing in the ministry of obedience of the one Jesus Christ. Becoming righteous does not mean that we gradually become righteous little by little. It means that the righteousness of the one Jesus Christ is given to us at once through faith, and we are moved to the status of God's children. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more to reach eternal life. Everyone, verse 20 explains in one sentence in what position and what work the law does. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The role of the law is not in saving a person. It is in exposing a person's sin as sin, making them realize how serious that sin is. The law is like a mirror. When you stand before a mirror, you can see how dirty your face is. However, the mirror cannot wash away that dirtiness. The law is also like that. When there was no law, a person lived without being able to consider their sin as sin. But when standing before the law, they clearly see how many sins are inside them. So on the contrary, the offense abounds. It is because the hidden sinful nature is revealed more clearly before the law. However, Paul immediately shows a greater truth. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Here, much more comes out again. In the exact place where my sin looks greater due to the law, the grace of salvation accomplished by the baptism Jesus Christ received and the blood of the cross is revealed much greater. Everyone, are you in despair because your sin seems deep? But there is no need to stay in that despair. It is because no matter how deep and numerous the sins are, the one Jesus Christ has already given perfect salvation through the baptism he received from John the Baptist and his death on the cross. Verse 21 shows how this grace rules over us, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Two types of ruling are drawn side by side. One is sin ruling over a person in death, and the other is grace ruling over a person who believes through God's righteousness. In Adam, sin was like a tyrant ruling over everyone using death as a weapon. However, in the salvation given by Jesus, grace uses God's righteousness as a channel to rule over us to reach eternal life. Here, the way grace rules is very important. Grace does not rule according to our deeds. It rules through faith. That is, it guides and rules over us using the word of salvation accomplished by the baptism Jesus received from John the Baptist and the blood he shed on the cross as a channel. What is the end of that ruling? It is eternal life. To eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is not a prize for our religious efforts. It is a firmly guaranteed gift of God, where the grace of the one Jesus Christ flows along the channel of righteousness and leads us. The beginning of this salvation is also our Lord Jesus Christ, and the end is also our Lord Jesus Christ. We who have been moved from slaves of death to children of life. Beloved saints, today's text showed us two people, the one man Adam and the one Jesus Christ. If Adam's single disobedience was the channel that brought sin, death, and condemnation to all mankind, Jesus Christ's single obedience, that is, one righteous act, became the channel that flows righteousness, life, and eternal life to everyone who believes. And the act of the one was incomparably greater and more abundant than the act of the one man. So wherever sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Which person do you belong to right now? Do you belong to Adam and are still under the rule of death? Or do you belong to Jesus Christ and are in the position of reigning in life? What divides that is not our deeds. It depends on whether you believe or do not believe in that righteous salvation accomplished by the baptism the one Jesus Christ received from John the Baptist, the blood of the cross, and the resurrection. Believe in this gospel of the water and the Spirit with your heart today. Then we are no longer slaves of death. Completely escaping from the rule of sin and death inherited from Adam, we become children of God who reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I bless in the name of the Lord that we all become those who offer all thanks and praise today, as well to that one Jesus Christ, who received baptism, died on the cross, and lived again for us. Hallelujah.